It doesn't take too many years of living to come face to face with the fact that life can be a battle of egos. Almost the first living peer relationships that we have are involved in trying to establish our identity through the battle of one-upmanship. Somehow we fall into the inescapable tendency to seek our own personal identity through a comparison with others. Often in this childhood quest, we try to find something in which we can elevate ourselves above someone else. This can have its positive side in that we can begin to discover our self-worth and begin to understand the natural gifts and talents that we have. From this comes self-confidence and the desire to develop those gifts and talents. On the other hand, there are negatives which can develop very early in life. Overblown egos can begin to rule our lives and our relationships. These overblown egos block the ability to honestly see the gifts and talents which are present within our lives. Although this may sound contradictory, the one who displays overblown egos is all too often hiding under an inferiority complex. Others are seen to have gifts or talents which are felt to be missing in one's own life that we wish we had. Therefore, there is the overblown display of one's own ego, which often leads to the overt downgrading of others, and even can be the motivation behind bullying. But the positive and negative traits which begin during the very young years of ages of childhood can determine who we are throughout our lives. We see this especially in the negatives, constantly being played out throughout our life. The negatives of overblown egos are quite evident when it comes to the highly polarized election time, not only with the candidates, but among the most ardent followers. We see them on the world political and religious stage, which is a cause of turmoil and war. We see them as the cause of prejudice and acts of exploitation and inequality. They are quite evident in social and economic divisiveness. The problem is this becomes the downfall of anything which may be good in life. Ironically, mankind throughout history longs to overcome these overblown egos. Tragically, though, it seems that we, like our childhood so much, that we never let go in order to become mature and rational beings. Now, this is exactly what Paul was up against with the church at Corinth. It was a church which was in turmoil, threatening to destroy itself. Members were playing the childhood games of one-upmanship. Resentment grew as the members were comparing each other's spiritual gifts, and in doing so, elevate their own above everybody else. The "I am better than you," or "my presence and contributions are far greater in importance than yours," that's what ruled the day. Everyone wanted to be seen as the greatest, not only in the eyes of each other, but in the eyes of God. They had failed to know the meaning of Jesus' words. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Humility was as if a foreign word. Of course, we all know what it is to be liked among those who are full of themselves and overblown egos. We all have experienced that. They are not only demeaning, but divisive and destructive by their very presence. This is exactly what Paul saw happening within his church at Corinth. Tragically, the gifts and talents of the members were being destroyed by the resentment of overblown egos. No longer were they gifts in order to support and uplift each other, and most importantly, promote and live the gospel of God's love. What actually was occurring was just the opposite. Paul directly addressed the problem. Now look, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. In other words, I'm telling you once and for all, I am setting the record straight. Then he goes on to say, you know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. That is, you are now followers of Christ who lives among us and requires that you live the life of his message of love. You no longer worship lifeless idols, which could care less about your destructive manner of living. Now, they were acting as if they still were worshiping idols, which had no effect upon their actual living. Therefore, Paul continues, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. Now, their egotism, which blocked them from living God's love, was in fact not only denying the gospel, but was the same thing as cursing the very name of Jesus. That is to say, if one is a follower of Christ, but does not live his message, they are cursing the very name of Jesus. It is only those who let the presence of God live in them who can proclaim to be followers of Christ. So Paul concludes, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Those who are involved in this message of God's love, they are the only ones. Now, to place oneself and one's gifts and talents above another is not living God's presence. Instead, Paul wrote that everyone's gifts are of equal importance. They may be different, but each contributes equally to the life and mission of the church, for they all come from God's living presence. He relates, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. You know, if this be true, then no one is more important than the other person. No one is above another person. Each person is to complement the other and not be in the game of comparisons or gamesmanship. How can you be superior to another if God's gifts are within them? To do this is to work against the common good, the ultimate goal for which we are all called. Paul concludes, to each is given the common good. We are all involved in that result. Whether it be teaching, baking, cleaning, praying, repairing, singing, visiting, giving, and sharing, all of equal importance as we witness to the love of God. But the effectiveness of the church, the body of Christ, is not only determined by how the members view each other. It may just be that how we view ourselves in the light of being a vital contributing part of its life and the life in which we live. This means we must not only know the gifts and talents God has given us, but to develop them and to share them. That is so important. That is why we are venturing out on this program and hopefully get that established with these young people. This means we have to help each other develop and share our talents. To hide them or not develop them is just as bad as those who flaunt them to the detriment of others. In each case, this is to deny the purpose of our God-given lives. This is true not only within the confines of the church, but how we live day in and day out. Of course, the church is not just these four walls, or when we gather together. The church is how we interact within the world in which we live. Therefore, it is not only the gifts we contribute to the life of the church gathered, but to the life shared with everybody in the world in which we live. There is the church. One of the greatest gifts we can give is to help others, not only to realize the gifts that God has given them, but to help them develop their gifts and their talents. This helps them to realize the joy of sharing their gifts and talents, but also helps them find meaning in life and a sense of self-worth. Life, then, is worth living. Oh, our society needs that. One only has to walk the streets of Baltimore to see that. The 20-some-year-old musician and dance entertainer, I don't know if you heard about her or not, Lindsay Sterling, anybody know that name? Young people would know that name more than anybody. Lindsay Sterling is a violinist who uniquely incorporates her violin playing with dancing. Lindsay Sterling has become world known, and her concerts are sellouts throughout the world. But Lindsay Sterling made this observation, quote, "I think when anybody is developing their talents and sharing it, I think you glow. I really think you do because you are representing the best side of yourself and the gifts that God's given you." And in that moment, I can almost feel the glow. I can see it. You know, when I look at the world today, I see all aspects of Paul's words about the good and the bad, of how the gifts of God are abused and denied, as well as developed and used. Every place where gifts are abused, like in the Church of Corinth, there is divisiveness, injustice, suffering, turmoil, and warfare. Just look at what is happening in the Middle East, and the divisiveness and polarization within our own country. We don't have to look any further than that. In each case, you see the intolerance of overblown egos. On the other hand, when you see people reaching out to help others by sharing the gifts of their lives and the talents that they have developed, you see joy and you see hope in those involved. I think we have experienced this here. There is a certain joy within this congregation about that angel tree. Because we are involved in it. We are giving of ourselves and the results of our talents. This is living the good news of God's love. This is what the body of Christ is. And when we fully realize our potential as human beings and then share our lives to help each other, we then know who we are. We know the meaning of life. And we know what it is to be a vital member of the body of Christ. For we are experiencing and living this love of God. That is the good news. And that is what we are a part of. We celebrate that. Amen.